tomorrow night's Prom, that's here on Radio 3 at 7:30 tomorrow night. And on Friday night, we've Elgar's Dream of Gerontius with the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Sir Simon Rattle. Again, 7:30 on Friday night for that. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio, and we're live online in HD sound. It's 11 o'clock and time now for Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz with Jez Nelson.
That's what it sounds like when the most hyped jazz musician of the moment walks on stage. Los Angeles saxophonist Kamasi Washington launched his debut album, The Epic, earlier this summer. And as many critics have pointed out, epic it really is. A three CD set recorded over many months with a 32-piece orchestra, a 20-strong choir and a 10-piece band. Well, tonight we feature just over an hour of Kamasi's recent LA launch gig. It was a four-hour marathon too, and with the very best of it coming up in just a couple of minutes. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined tonight for the first time ever in the studio by one of the UK's finest music writers, Richard Williams, formerly of Melody Maker, The Times, The Old Grey Whistle Test, now writing on his Blue Moment blog as well as The Guardian, and he's the artistic director of the Berlin Jazz Festival. That's a lot. Welcome along, welcome along. A pleasure to have you here. Richard, before we hear the first part of the gig, you wrote on Blue Moment that Kamasi Washington's new album was part of one of the best things to have happened in jazz in recent years. What did you mean by that?
I meant that it seems to be reconnecting with popular music in the shape of Flying Lotus and Kendrick Lamar, on whose records Kamasi Washington plays and a lot of his colleagues play. And they're injecting into that kind of rap jazz flavours, jazz spirit, jazz sound. And that's a very interesting development.
We're going to get into this much more later on, but tell us what we might kind of listen out for, because it's not that he's come along and done something kind of radically new, but somehow what he's doing feels very important, feels very well done, and feels centred in a great jazz tradition.
This is a slightly shocking thing to say, but he reminds me of Bruce Springsteen in the early 70s. Springsteen came along not doing anything new. He knew Chuck Berry, he knew Elvis Presley, he knew Phil Spector, he knew The Animals, he knew Van Morrison. He put it all together with a new kind of energy and just a sort of reviving spirit and a lot of imagination and a lot of conviction. And that, it seems to me, is what Kamasi Washington's doing. He's taking a lot of stuff that, if you know jazz very well, you know, but he's just found a way of reviving it, of just infusing it with a terrific new spirit that makes people who've heard it before listen to it again, and new people who haven't heard this stuff, they're floored by it.
Okay, we'll talk much more later on. And Richard's also brought along a couple of CDs he's been enjoying recently, which we'll share with you at the end of the show. And we're going to be hearing from Kamasi Washington himself a little later on. So to the launch gig, which happened at the Regent Theatre in LA, Kamasi couldn't quite match the size of his studio setup, but he didn't do badly. He was joined by a 7-piece string section, a choir, and his 10-piece band, The Next Step, which includes the electric bass player Thundercat. And as you'll hear, it was quite a rare atmosphere for a jazz gig.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Y'all so beautiful. Wow. Thank y'all so much for being here. I see we're going to play something for y'all now.
Thank you.
very much the man of the moment, saxophonist Kamasi Washington and his group The Next Step, with string section and choir, and the first piece from his LA launch gig for his album The Epic. That was called Axiom. You're listening to Jazz on 3, and we have more from that concert coming up very soon.
We put up these imaginary barriers all the time for music, and people, you know, they live their lives by them. Like, if you like James Brown, then you probably like jazz, really. You know what I mean? And if you like James Brown, then you probably like Snoop. And if you like Snoop, then you probably like Kendrick. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, like when Snoop came out, it opened people's minds to funk. You know, people weren't really on funk like that in, you know, I mean, 1992 until, you know, Dre and Snoop kind of came with that G-funk sound, you know? I think what Kendrick Lamar did, it's opened the door for a lot of different music, and for people to just open their minds to the connections that music have. I mean, like, it just takes one person to open people's minds, and then all of a sudden they can go out and find, you know, all these gems in music. What you want, you a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy, I'm your dog. You can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico.
That's music from Kendrick Lamar's album To Pimp a Butterfly from earlier this year, which did very, very well, and features Kamasi Washington. There we also heard music from Snoop Dogg as well, and they were the words of Kamasi Washington, whose concert we're featuring tonight on Jazz on 3. My guest in the studio is the critic, author and festival director Richard Williams. Richard, you wrote a blog piece on Blue Moment about Kendrick Lamar's album. I think we should just talk a little bit about that before we go back to Kamasi, because you really said it was one of the most important works that you've heard for a long time, and put it in the company of some sort of great historic works in the history of black music.
I'm not an expert on rap or hip-hop, but in Kendrick Lamar in particular, and in this record, you can hear a level of seriousness and engagement with thinking and with music that to me goes beyond a lot of the stuff I've heard. And it reminded me that contemporary black popular music for the last 100 years has usually been where the energy is at any given time. And jazz has kind of come in and out of that at fairly regular intervals. And it's making an engagement now with this kind of thing. You know, you get Kamasi Washington, Ambrosac in Misery, those guys working with Kendrick Lamar. And that's doing, in a sense, what Ray Charles did in the early 50s, or Fats Domino, using the flavors of jazz, the techniques, the inventiveness, bringing it into their kind of popular music.
You talked about jazz coming in and out of popular music over time and having these moments where perhaps it really sort of connects and becomes an important part of pop or the mainstream. When do you think was the last time that happened?
Well, you can take sort of little individual isolated examples of it, like Amy Winehouse was an obvious example of jazz coming through in a single performer. But under the surface, you have a much stronger influence occasionally, as I think happened in the 70s with Earth, Wind & Fire, the Commodores, Kool & the Gang, those kind of bands who were full of musicians who could have been playing on Blue Note records at the time. And they brought it to that sort of soul, funk, disco kind of stuff. And to me, that's the last time it really had this kind of effect on popular music.
So let's talk a little bit more about the point you made at the start of the programme, which is that it's not necessarily doing anything new. So expand on why you think it's so important, bearing in mind it's not often in jazz, it's like, oh, someone's doing something new, as opposed to they're doing an old thing well.
What he's doing is bringing the flavours of Pharoah Sanders, of John Coltrane, those things that we are familiar with, but making a new combination of it and bringing it to a new audience. It's a little bit like politics. Sometimes in politics, old ideas sound new to a new electorate. And maybe what Pharoah Sanders and John Coltrane were doing 50 years ago, maybe that's an interesting thing to be doing now, if you're a young person who can do something recombinant with it, if you like.
What about the fact that this is very much an LA scene? So we're used to, of course, hearing that, you know, New York is now the center of jazz and people want to gravitate towards New York, and much of the music that we listen to from the States anyway comes from New York. Of course, Chicago is very important. LA, in a sense, doesn't have the spotlight on it very much.
No, LA has always been quite far away in that sense. But of course, it's always had a great jazz scene. You know, Louis Armstrong went there in the 30s when he left New Orleans, went to Chicago, but also to LA. In the 40s and 50s, the Central Avenue scene in black Los Angeles was extremely strong and extremely creative.
Well, I spoke to Kamasi recently. Here's what he had to say about the LA scene today.
It's been a gift and a curse in LA that, like, we've gotten a bit overlooked over the years. But what it did is it allowed LA musicians, especially LA jazz musicians in particular, to kind of cultivate a very, like, I think, unique sound to where jazz has been. We got to cultivate it very naturally.
So what is that distinctive LA sound that you're talking about?
I think it's a free sound. I think we've accepted individuality at a level that, like, I don't think a lot of places have. You can be exactly whoever you want to be. Like, you can play whatever style of music you want to play, and you don't have to, like, go through the gauntlet to kind of get to it, you know? People may not realize it, but, like, there's a lot of Snoop Dogg in the way I play saxophone, a lot of, like, Busta Rhymes in the way I play saxophone. There's, you know, Chaka Khan has affected the way Ronald Bruner plays drums. It's a very organic music. I think in L.A., no one really cares how you play your music. It's just, does it feel good? Does it sound good?
Kamasi Washington talking about the LA scene. My guest is Richard Williams. Richard, in your blog piece, I think about Kendrick Lamar, but then talking about Kamasi Washington, you talk about some of the sort of moments in jazz that the Kamasi album reminds you of. You've talked about Coltrane a bit, but talk to us about some of the other things you mentioned there and what you think this is evocative of.
What I feel very strongly is that this is music that's being made in its time and place, in its social, cultural, political environment. And you know what's going on in America at the moment with the Black Lives Matter movement. People like Ambrose Akinmusere and Robert Glasper and Matana Roberts, they are reflecting that movement in the stuff they're writing and playing. And that's what reminds me of the late 50s and early 60s, the time of the civil rights movement, you know. Charles Mingus wrote Fables of Phorbis about a racist Southern governor. Coltrane recorded Alabama after four young girls had been killed in a church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama. There's an example on a record by Max Roach called We Insist, Freedom Now Suite, which he made in the middle of the civil rights era, which is called Freedom Day. And I think if you listen to this bit of that track, you'll hear kind of antecedent of Kamasi Washington. You'll hear where he's coming from.
Max Roach from We Insist, the Freedom Now suite, and Freedom Day, chosen by Richard Williams. And do stay with us, because at the end of the show, Richard's going to be sharing a couple of his current favourite releases. Right now, back to the stage of the Regent Theatre in Los Angeles for three more tunes from Kamasi Washington, all taken from his most recent album, The Epic, beginning with Misunderstanding.
Thank you.
Terrence Martin, y'all. Steven Bruner, y'all, Thundercat. Ronald Bruner on the drums, y'all.
Yeah! Austin, Miles Mosley, Stephen Bruner, Ronald Bruner, Cameron Graves, Ryan Porter, Dante Winslow, Miguel Atwood Ferguson, Tylana, Jen, Yvette, Paul, RTM, Ginger, Molly, Andrea, Thomas.
Apologies, Kamazi, we don't quite have time for the full lineup, but we will put the full lineup, all the performers at that concert at the Regent Theatre in Los Angeles, up on the Jazz on 3 website. Kamazi Washington playing saxophone and leading that group, The Next Step, playing music from his recent album, The Epic. If you'd like to watch that concert, there's a really nice video up on the NPR website. Thank you very much to NPR's Jazz Night in America for sharing that concert with us. They have some other great concerts up on their website. And Richard Williams is my guest tonight, blogger, critic and festival curator. Richard, it's slightly overwhelming at times, the album, and it's sort of thrown a lot at the wall. Is there anything there that you sort of like to say, well, whatever you do next, Kamazi, bear this in mind?
I think it's too early for that. You know, I think just enjoy this moment. I had a friend who went to see him in New York at the Blue Note a couple of weeks ago. It's a friend of mine who's been listening to music for many, many years, you know, has really good ears. He went to that and he said it was one of the greatest things he's ever seen in his life. He was just completely blown away by it. And it was a slightly scaled down version of what we just heard.
Which is the band that he's going to be bringing to the London Jazz Festival in November.
The 10-piece band.
It's interesting because I saw a review, I can't remember where it was for, maybe it was another place in New York, but it was a concert venue and the critic was saying it was great, but he was sort of saying, how's this going to work in the Blue Note, where they play short sets and they chuck people out?
Well, apparently it does.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that's exciting. We'll put a link to the London Jazz Festival up on the Jazz on 3 website because he's coming for that event.
I think just to go back to what I said at the beginning of the show, that comparison with Bruce Springsteen. You know, Bruce Springsteen can make Wembley Stadium feel like Max's Kansas City, and he could make Max's Kansas City feel like Wembley Stadium. And maybe Kamasi Washington has the same kind of thing, you know, that the scale works at either
end. Plays 4-hour gigs, of course, Bruce.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we're going to finish tonight, Richard, by hearing a couple of other new releases that you've been enjoying recently. And you've always, of course, always written about music more broadly. I do recommend people check out the Blue Moment blog. Very nice piece last week about Van Morrison. I think you're sort of reflecting that in the music that you've brought in tonight. Sort of music, I guess, on the kind of the edges of the music. Is that where you think the most exciting things are continuing to happen in jazz?
Generally speaking, I would say that there's more good music being made at the moment than I can ever remember. All over the place in all kinds of different ways.
That's a real statement coming from you.
Well, you know, I've been the last year when I've been putting together my first Berlin Jazz Festival, I've been listening very hard to a lot of things, and that's the conclusion I've come to. That, you know, the problem is not finding good stuff. It's, you know, how do I cope with all this? And, you know, nobody interests me more than Matana Roberts, the American saxophone player and she describes herself as a sound quilter.
We talked about Epic with Kamazi Washington. This is sort of epic in another sense because this is part three of what she says is going to be a 12-part series of albums under the Coin Coin name. So just give us a kind of sense of the scope of this and what it is she's attempting to do.
Well, The first of the three that she's released to date was quite a heavily arranged. It sounded like jazz, and it was really good. The second one was scaled down. It had more singing, more voices, more songs. The third one is completely different. This is just a kind of collage of almost found sounds in which her playing is woven in and out. And it's more like being in an art gallery or a kind of sonic art gallery or something than going to a gig. It's about her history. It's about black history in America. It's about American history in general. I really think she's got hold of something interesting. She's an original.
OK, we're going to hear a piece from Coin Coin, Chapter 3, River Run Thee. This is called Dreamer of Dreams.
Thank you.
Matana Roberts, and Dreamer of Dreams from Coin Coin, Chapter 3, River Run Thee, the choice of Richard Williams. She's going to be playing in London, Richard. She's playing at the venue, which I don't know, Oslo in Hackney, on the 6th of October.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that enormously.
Yeah, and I was reading the liner notes last night to that album. She says, listen in a dark room to the album in its entirety, maybe with somebody you love, she said. So I think that's the...
All artists want you to do that with all their albums, but she's right.
I think it's one of those albums you do need to listen to. We have one more selection coming up in a moment. Just to tell you about some gigs happening this week. Nerea are playing at the St Ives Jazz Club tonight. That's Tuesday night. Elliot Galvin's going to be on the road with his excellent trio. They're playing at the Lescar in Sheffield on Wednesday, Coffee Coast in Birmingham on the 3rd, then the Verdict in Brighton, the Lighthouse in Deal, Kent, and Pizza Express in Maidstone later in the week. Recommend you check that out. Next week on this programme, we've highlights from this year's Jazz Ahead Showcase in Bremen, Germany. And Richard, we mentioned that you are the artistic director of the Berlin Jazz Festival, which is excellent news. Remind us when that happens?
It's the beginning of November, the 5th to the 8th, 4 days.
Okay, well, we'll put some details of that on the Jazz on 3 website. A good selection, no doubt lots of interesting European music there. And we'll close with something kind of interesting in that vein from you now, from Greece.
Yes, this is a guy called Socrates Sinopoulos, who plays a thing called the lyre. Imagine a miniature cello, it's actually called a spike fiddle, I think, and played with a bow upright. It's a very beautiful, dry, haunting sound. He plays with Charles Lloyd in the Wild Man Dance band, and he's made an album for ECM called Eight Winds.
And the piece that you've chosen?
It's called Thrace, which is, I assume, after the place in Greece.
Richard, it's been a real pleasure having you on the programme.
Thank you, Jazz.
Thanks also to my producer, Chris Elcombe. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. From me, Jazz Nelson, good night.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome again to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. I'm starting today with a rare visit to Moldova. The Martisor International Music Festival takes place there in March each year. It's been running for nearly half a century, and the name Martisor, from the Romanian name for the month of March, refers to the celebrations for the arrival of spring. On the 1st of March, Moldovans give each other little red and white mascots called Martisor, accompanied by a wish: live and blossom like apple trees in the heart of the spring. Well, the 2014 festival included this organ recital by Jan Bokschanin, and he begins with a prelude in F-sharp minor by Dietrich Buxtehude.